Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation from the NFL.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, Eric Coote with a triumphant comeback. Morris, but tonight...
Don't call it a comeback!
I do believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady made those tears rain down like a monsoon in New England this week.
You'd think so. I mean, there's so many. There's obviously the NFL knew he was going to get Drew Brees' record there. That was just the perfect time, and they worked it out. They would have done that to perfectly work
Drew
that out.
Drew was there.
Like, yeah, of course. But what I'm saying is they worked out that, oh, they're going to play New England. He might break out of this game. Let's put him on at this game. And obviously,
well, the funny thing is too, like, you know, he could have actually, if he could have done it last week, really. Like, he's second in the league at the moment in passing yards. Like, that is just, that's ridiculous behind Matt Stafford.
Yeah, he's I think he's QB 2 or 3 at the moment. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
So
it is just you know, a welcome back to. To New England there, a bit of a rainy sort of Sunday in the States this week. Plenty of there was a few places that were dealing with the weather.
Well, we'll go through the games for week 4.
No more as well. Even on the West Coast for the Tuesday morning game here for us was delayed by like 45 minutes because of a thunderstorm in LA.
It was a massive lightning over literally.
It was crazy.
It looked awesome. Go from the Friday game. The Bengals beat the Jags 24-21. Then the plethora of Monday games for us. Washington beat the Falcons 34-30. Bills, like, you know, just dominated Houston. The Texans 40-0. Wasn't really a surprise to me. Bears beat the Lions.
Are we even like looking into their week one performance against Pittsburgh, and now they're just coming out and just annihilating people?
Wow. Exactly. And now, I mean, Pittsburgh is showing their colors as well. The Bears beat the Lions 24-14. My Cowboys, you know, a little bit, you know, showing what, you know, I guess the potential they have, 36-28 over the Panthers. I mean, I had to beat the Panthers without McCaffrey. That was my biggest problem with that.
That's it too. I think that scoreline got a little bit flattering at the end there too. Like, it shouldn't have even been that close, really.
No, the Colts beat the Dolphins 27-17. Browns beat the Vikings 14-7. The Giants beat your Saints for their first win 27-21. You know, the other song you probably could have played is probably New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. Because then again, the next New York team beat the Titans 27-24 again.
Absolutely
perfect time
not.
To beat the Titans. New York, New York, that would have been perfect. So I can't wait to talk about those games.
The Chiefs destroyed my multi that.
The Chiefs beat the Philadelphia Eagles 42-30. The Cards beat the Rams 37-20. The Seattle Seahawks beat the 49ers 28-21. Excuse me, the Ravens beat the Broncos 23-7. The Steelers lost... Excuse me, to the Packers 27-17. The game we were talking about right at the start, the Bucks beat the Pats 19-17. And that Tuesday game that you brought up, which we can start with if you want, that was delayed, was the Chargers beating the previously, first loss Raiders 28-14. Both teams look good in that game.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas got off to a bit of a slow start. Mm-hmm. I didn't sort of like the way that they really got, you know, got their work done to sort of start with. They had a really nice third quarter. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers, they put a hurt on them, and they put it on them hard right at the start of the game. And the Raiders just they couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't move the ball. Anything in the first quarter, minus 6 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
In the first half, 51 yards of total offense. Well, that's hard to come back from.
They especially at the start, they had technically, in terms of crowd noise, that home field advantage.
Oh my God, it was crazy. It was more than a 50-50 split to the Raiders.
At the start, you're right. I reckon it was probably 70-30 at the start. Then it started to wane down, and then the Chargers faithful then sort of came back on as 50-50. But my God, at the start, holy hell.
It was ridiculous.
I just love hearing the home crowds go ballistic on a third down, just to so that they can't hear any play call. And you see Justin Herbert holding, because he can't hear anything, holding his head over his helmet. But you're right. They just didn't have any ascendancy in that first half. But I mean, that first quarter alone, that first touchdown, the Chargers made that look easy. I think that drive was in total. I thought I wrote it down at 38 seconds. I'm talking about between snaps. There was about 38 seconds it took them to get down there. That's how quick it was. So.
And they move the ball brilliantly, and that's just that's how they roll at the moment. Like it's crazy.
Herbert is like, I mean, I still thought second year, he's pick six in the draft. I thought there was something there, but I wasn't like thinking, is this guy actually for real? But I kind of think he is for real. But them being 3-1. The only way they're going to get that, they're sharing a stadium with the Rams. The only way they're going to get that Chargers faithful, to really, really back them is to make the playoffs. That is all they can do.
But the other thing is, too, is still play, a good, exciting brand of football. And LA's got a bunch of fakers there anyway. So there'll be plenty of bandwagoners. That are there that will jump on the Chargers bandwagon, but they need to be. They can't be, like they were last year. They had so many close losses last year.
No, you're right.
They need to turn those close losses into wins. And it still might even take a couple of years for people to turn. But people, once they get a couple of eyefuls of Justin Herbert, of Keenan Allen, of Mike Williams, they'll
Eckler, who was brilliant in this game.
Yeah, they'll come.
Yeah, they will come. Yeah. Look, overall, Herbert did what he needed to. He only had to throw 38 times. I always love when the quarterbacks have only throw less than 40. Regardless if you're winning or losing, it's just overall I think it's better when you see, like we said last week with some games, up to 50 passes. It's too much.
It's nice to see a good run pass balance.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the way to do it, rather than, especially if you're chasing the game, then generally the pass game comes into it a lot more, and you don't want to be burning the clock with trying to get the run game happening. So, yeah. I guess the turning point in this game was the missed field goal by Carlson.
Yeah.
Giving the Chargers a fairly short field to work with. Boom. They score. That sort of puts the game just a little bit out of reach. And then right towards the end of the game, with Derek Carr, they're chasing the game. Like they're down two scores, but they're still trying to chase the game with three odd minutes to go. Carr throws an interception, and that's how it goes. And
that was the game. So you're right. That was a bit uncharacteristic for Carlson, because he's been fairly consistent through his first four games.
Yeah, he's been good.
So, yeah. Moving on then to going that way, the Bucks, in a rainy night, like you sort of said at the start, beating the Pats 19-17. I think, did Tom Honey have to throw 68 yards or 67 yards to get the record?
68, I'm pretty sure it was 68. And then it was a big goof off and a big fart around with one of the, I think it was a pass to Mike Evans, and it was a 24 yard catch.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was placed at one spot, and then he was like 1 yard behind, and then all of a sudden the referees come back out again, and then they place it like another yard and a half forward, and it's just like, hooray, he's broken the record. There was a timeout called. There was the smallest, tiniest little bit of acknowledgement on the big screen. I don't even know if the fans even sort of acknowledged it a whole lot.
A little bit. It was
and then everything just resumed as normal. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I thought, like, well, I mean, your boy Breeze, they stopped everything. And then, you know, I guess probably home. Yeah, so I sort of might be a bit different that the Bucks weren't home. But, yeah, it was bizarre. I thought they would stop and nothing.
No, it was a timeout call. Yeah, to me, very, very little acknowledgement. You know, a thing on the big screen there at Gillette Stadium, you couldn't really hear if there was like much of an announcement. You didn't hear a whole lot of crowd reaction. So it's like, I'm not too sure what to make of this. Everybody just carried on.
In terms of crowd reaction, I mean, they showed respect, but they also did what for any team. Like, you know, they try to put him off as well.
No, of course they would have.
That was the first time for me, at least, that I've seen in a full game, the New England quarterback Mac Jones. I like him. I mean, his offensive line's
super efficient.
A little bit left to be desired. He did get sacked 4 times, but he is pretty efficient. I mean, it's going to take time like anything, but I like him. I mean, I could see why they, you know, I can't see why he fell so far, but then I see why New England took a shot on him. So
no, that's right. You know, they've almost essentially got, you know, a playbook already designed and, you know, written up for this style of play, you know, for Brady in the last sort of, you know, 3 or 4 years of his career.
Do you think with this game, just looking at the Pats, so there was absolutely no rushing game.
Oh my God, that was brutal. Their run game was brutal.
Absolutely brutal. It was -1 yard. They didn't do anything. So that's total. That's not for one player. That's total of 5 players.
Well, a wide receiver was their leading rusher with 4 yards, Nelson Aguilar.
4 yards. So, and then the other two, you know, that supposedly the money he, what I'm talking about is the money he spent on a lot of players, but also on those two tight ends in Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith, like the two tight end sets that there was. What do you think? I don't know if that was, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but I don't kind of think it was actually the right move. I would have thrown more money at a wide receiver personally, but that's me.
Yeah, look, I think Johnny Smith's numbers were, I think, a little bit deceiving. Last year, I don't think he's the greatest sort of tight end getting around. He's probably more of a better blocking tight end rather than a pass catching tight end, which is, you know, it is what it is. That's something for Belichick and Josh McDaniels there to sort of work out how they can use that, you know, use that a little bit better. But they've got their receivers there. They're above average. It's got to be something along the lines of more, you know, a spread offense. They've got to spread everything around. People have got to get their touches, and that doesn't bode well for two tight ends. And especially you think about it, they got no run game. You think that everyone would be getting their fair share of targets, but you know, Johnny Smith had like nothing, like, you know, 3 catches for 14 yards. And Hunter Henry only gets much. 4 catches on 5 targets. So it's just it's not a very expansive playbook, much like the Saints have at the moment. It's a very basic, you know, try and keep Mac Jones out of trouble playbook. Still very dink and dunk. He's not really sort of letting it fly down the field. Like the longest play that they had, you know, was a 30-yard catch by Aguilar. So that's not really opening everything up. And look, Brady didn't have, you know, one of those trademark Brady games either. Like he was less than impressive for 3 quarters of this game. The Bucks had no rush game either. The third quarter was where Leonard Fournette really started to light it up.
Yeah,
and started to get that rush game happening. Other than that, both teams really had abandoned the rush game until, obviously, the Bucs had a little bit better, but until Fournette really started to get it going in the third. And the other thing that was not so much surprising, but looked like it worked a lot better than I think it has in previous weeks, is the no huddle, sort of speed up 2-minute drill offense by the Pats. it sort of took, I think it took the Bucks by surprise a little bit, and Mac Jones looked pretty good in doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really the turning point, but obviously the Pats lost a game with Nick Folk taking that 56-yard field goal. I looked up a stat. I think, you know, obviously he missed, and then they didn't win the game. But Nick Folk's actually made 36 consecutive field goals. Problem is, he has not made one from 56 yards since since 2010, and that's how long this field goal was. So,
and look, a wet field, a wet football, well, like that.
I don't know if it was a right call by Belichick, to be completely honest.
I think they could have done a little bit better in play calling towards the end of that to try and get a little bit closer than 56 out. Like it just seemed that I didn't think they did enough to give Mac Jones enough to sort of succeed. Yeah. But like I said, you know, in that no huddle offense, they look pretty good. And they could have tried that again to look like was working fairly well. They could have done that towards the end of the game to try and get themselves into a little bit better position.
Next game was who we mentioned before, the Steelers going down to the Packers, so that was 17-27.
How did Pittsburgh score 17?
I don't know. I really don't know what is going on in Pittsburgh. I mean, I do know what's going on in Pittsburgh, and that is just, unfortunately, Big Ben is kind of done. I mean, it sounds terrible, but I think it kind of is done.
It is with this incarnation of what the Steelers are, with just no protection for him. He's getting the ball out so quickly because he has no protection. So it just comes down to he's getting zero time with the ball. He's got to make those nice quick passes. There are a lot, you know, like we said last week, he just fed the running back there, Najee Harris.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was like he had like 18 passes at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. So I don't know what's really happening there. It's definitely a product of lack of protection, and that just means you can't have those big bombs down the field. You know, for Deontay Johnson, for Juju Smith-Schuster, well, you get nothing.
He's got three. Like, he's got three great wide receivers. And Clay,
at least last year he could get some sort of production out of Claypool, but he's just getting no time at all to throw the football.
You're exactly right. On the other side, Green Bay, I guess Rodgers finally found his man that he wanted there, and Randall Cobb getting two touchdowns in this game. Took him a while. Like, I picked Randall Cobb up in a lot of waiver wise, thinking, oh no, you know, they have that partnership and everything, but he hasn't fermented, I guess, up until this game. But their run game was pretty impressive with AJ Dillon topping Aaron Jones with 81 yards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, their run game was superb. And look, Pittsburgh again, you know, defensively keeping them in this game. The Minkah Fitzpatrick punt block that went for a touchdown and then they brought it back because of a split second offside. And we said it before, life's not fair. I didn't think it was a very fair call because the ball was just almost being snapped. And there's no way that the referees, you see it super slow-mo. There's no way that the referees could have called that and seen it obvious, that it was an obvious offside. The only reason they've called it is because Fitzpatrick got in behind the blockers so easily because he went straight in between two of them.
Yeah. Oh, I love Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's so good.
It was crazy. You watch it in slow-mo. He went in between two of them. It was such a poor blocking job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason I can think of is the reason they brought it back, because the snap time and the jumping offside is minuscule.
It's
minuscule. There's no way the referee could have seen that and called that. You can't call that. Yeah, I just thought that they put a big emphasis on defensively there in Pittsburgh, and that's keeping them in games. And they
that's
did
the only
sort of
thing keeping them in games a little bit,
but it's since the early thing. No, that's right. And since the early touchdown that the Steelers had, really couldn't muster anything up after that.
Yeah.
Green Bay sort of put them to the sword, with that run game, and then when you've got Cobb. And Devonta Adams and Aaron Jones catching passes out of the backfield, it's hard to stop.
It is. They're Super Bowl contenders.
The scary part of it is before this game, Big Ben has been sacked 10 times already, and he was sacked twice in this game. So that's 12 times that he's been sacked. That's not even quarterback pressures. That's not even quarterback hits. That's sacked 12 times. That's not good for your health.
No.
And so I said it to you. I said this last week too, I think. Not during a pod, but just when we were talking. I don't see Big Ben Roethlisberger lasting this season. I think he's either going to get injured or somehow Mike Tomlin's going to make a massive call, which he probably won't because he won't.
It's going to have to be the hand that forces him, and then unfortunately Ben is I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
When? Yeah, I'll be very. And they've got Dwayne Haskins there, so he's a bit more mobile and can throw a ball. It'd be good just to see if he can play a game and he can prove that he was that first round decent pick. I'd love to see that.
I think he can try, but with that offensive line, at least he can move around. It's still going to be a very tough assignment. If Dwayne Haskins comes in there, if it's either, I seriously doubt it's going to be Mason Rudolph. Like, it just can't be Mason Rudolph.
It'll be Dwayne Haskins. It will be Dwayne Haskins if.
He got a lot of the snaps throughout the preseason, so
yeah.
it'll be Haskins, but that's the thing, it's going to be a tough assignment for him as well.
The Ravens beating the Broncos, your boy Latavius Murray has finally sort of stepped up for him. He got a TD and he topped the yards over Lamar, which is pretty rare, getting 59 yards.
That's what the Broncos are. We know what the Broncos are. They're a tough, gritty defensive side, and that's what like Pittsburgh. That's what's going to keep them in games. I think Teddy Bridgewater and that offensive line is slightly better than what they've got at Pittsburgh, so they'll have better opportunities to score points. Teddy went down in this game, which was a little bit scary too, with concussion. So that wasn't good. Look, he wasn't looking great to start with, Teddy. No. And then Drew Lock come in and kind of stunk it up a little bit as well.
He did not look any better. The good thing, I guess, because Lamar could see that the run game wasn't working, his passing game ended up being pretty good. He did share sort of the wealth around, so to speak. But big Hollywood Brown topped the Baltimore receiving with 91 yards and a TD, but
and a couple of good deep bombs to him as well. That's one of the prime ways to beat Baltimore is you've got to take away the run game. You've definitely got to take away Lamar's run game. You've got to make him a pocket passer. You've got to keep him there. It's hard to do because if you flush him out of the pocket, that he's so elusive and so quick. He gets first downs for fun. He did,
he got 316 yards in there. So he did really well, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's right. But you've got to take your chances with him being a passer rather than him beating you with his legs.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Seahawks. This is a weird game. That's 28-21 over the Niners. I guess obviously it kind of was weird because Jimmy got injured in this game and Trey Lance stepped up. I guess Admiral.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're trying to say there, but it's but look, this Seattle were awful again to start off this game. So they can't continue to have poor starts.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to say admirable. My God, I couldn't even get it out properly.
I thought you were trying to say admiral.
I nearly did say admiral. Admirable. It was admirable, but the Seahawks, I don't know. I'm kind of, I wouldn't say overly concerned, but I'm kind of a little bit concerned.
They're awful at the moment. They're
this
awful.
It is an ugly win. This is what I think it was, a weird sort of game. This was an ugly win.
They're not good at the moment. They're not
good. No, I agree.
It's Russell Wilson didn't even pass for 150 yards.
No, that's right. I mean, they kind of only scraped the win because he got that nice little TD, rushing TD. And then Alex Collins, who we haven't really seen or heard of up until sort of this game, getting a TD as well. But, I don't know. Other than that, it was just a concerning win. That's all I'm really getting at. It was a very concerning win.
When a win's a win, and you've got to be a bit gritty in doing that. Look, San Francisco had a lot more. They had a lot more possession, but didn't have a lot more time in possession. If that sort of makes a whole lot of sense. They had a lot more, as in total plays. They did the run. Yeah, they had the run that was fairly effective, but I think they sort of went to, yeah, they tried to sort of go to the well a little bit with the pass game. You know, Deebo Samuel had a pretty damn good game.
Oh,
a couple of TDs, you know, a 76-yard catch.
It was
unbelievable. But, you know, on 13 targets though, and even though Trey Lance was less than impressive, the stuff that he does is good. The stuff that he doesn't do is he's a rookie, and that's just the way it is. Like, you know, people, the, you know, especially over the last 2 years anyway, and even if you go back to Patrick Mahomes and you know, even Lamar Jackson, like, you know, had fairly decent rookie campaigns. This year, the rookies that are playing and that are starting and getting a lot of minutes are looking like rookies, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, you're exactly right. Yeah. The other NFC West game was the Cardinals beating the previously. This was, two teams going against each other that hadn't lost a game yet, but the Cards beat the Rams. And now topping, I wouldn't have thought it, the NFC West, 37-20 over the Rams.
Yeah, where's that come from?
Well, like, Seattle's technically on the bottom. That's even worse.
No, that's right. That's right. That is even worse. Look, I guess this was sort of a bringing down back to earth, so to speak, for Matthew Stafford. Like, I think he's been riding high the last 3 weeks. You know, he's been, you know, oh, wow, you know, that this is, well, he didn't get sacked in this game. So, he can only be cheering about that. But
their offensive and defensive lines are brilliant at Rams. But you're right. It was just more of a comeback to earth.
That's all I could say. This, it was a nice spread offense again. Arizona really sort of beat them down pretty hard with the run game, which I thought was a little surprising because, yeah, that defensive front by the Rams is pretty menacing. And for them to be able to sort of go out there and stomp all over them and run all over them, I thought was extremely surprising.
Yeah, no,
and
you're
not
right.
All the damage done by Kyler Murray either.
No, you're right. I mean, but goddamn, I love when he runs out of the pocket. He's so no one can catch him.
He's so, even when he's on the move, he's still so accurate.
It's ridiculous.
Like, and that's a big development for him.
Yeah, it's ridiculously good. Like, he's you know, they keep doing what they're doing. He was in it last year until they sort of faded. They did this sort of last year, and he was in that MVP conversation, and then they sort of bit faded towards the end there and didn't even make the playoffs. So tough division.
No, that's right.
But still, if they got to, the way the Seahawks are playing, they're going to have to keep doing this in order to at least challenge the Rams, or both. I think it'll end up being both those two teams challenging.
Well, the Seahawks, especially in this division, like the Seahawks have got to get better. They've got to get off to a better start, and they've got to be better on third down.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That game previously, that we talk about. Both teams were awful on third down, but Seattle is like bottom third in third down completion percentage.
Yeah, I think they're like 29th or something. I remember seeing that. It's
not good. And they need to, they need to be a lot better than that. Look, the Rams, like I said, a little bit of come down to earth. The Arizona defense was really good. They made a massive, fourth and goal stop on the Rams when they're trying to chase the game in the fourth quarter. I thought that was big. That sort of really set up the rest of the game. And they get the ball back. I think Arizona, they have a three and out, or they get one first down, and then they have to punt the ball back to LA. So LA was doing their job defensively towards the end of that game. They just weren't getting it done offensively. There was four straight in just one sequence. There was like four straight rushes by Matthew Stafford because none of his wide receivers were getting open. And that's that seems impossible, but that's just what was happening. Like, you could see Stafford was bought so much time. He was looking for options, had nothing, but the pocket fell apart, so he could get some easy, cheap rushing yards. And there was an instance there, four straight rushes for Stafford because nobody was getting open, and he doesn't want to throw picks. He doesn't want to give the ball back because they're chasing the game. And it just didn't work. It just didn't work out for LA this game.
No, it didn't. Chiefs just demoralizing the Eagles, who somehow pulled 30 points out, but lost to the Chiefs 42-30. God,
not a bad offensive team.
Philadelphia.
We know the Kansas City is far from the best defense that's going around, but Jalen Hurts, pretty much having a career game. 387 yards, a couple of TDs. Like, he was their dual threat. He had eight rushes for 47 yards. Like, he was doing everything possible. Him and Devontae Smith were doing everything possible to try and keep them in this game, but they just couldn't make defensive stops. And how can you against Patrick Mahomes and that crew? How do you do it?
How can you against Tyreek Hill getting 186 yards and three TDs?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm just gonna say it now. That's just unlike for me already for the week. Like that.
What do you do?
He only dropped one catch. They couldn't catch him. It was, you're right. Like,
what the hell is with Mahomes and these shovel passes and these underarm passes as well?
Oh my God.
He threw two touchdowns, one to Fortson and one to Tyreek Hill. That were shovel passes. Like, what the F is that?
It's just him. Oh, that is true. He's a show off. He was pretty.
What is that?
He was near perfect at 24 for 30 and just under 300 yards. Yeah, there's not much to say in this game, but yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
even Clyde Edwards-Helaire sort of chimed in there with averaging over 7 yards a carry in the rush game.
Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he's got something. I honestly think
he does. He had a pretty poor rookie campaign.
But that's the thing. People say it's a poor campaign, but it wasn't it was a poor campaign for a first rounder. It wasn't really an overly poor campaign.
Well, he was
campaign.
Picked up. I think I'm pretty sure it was the 32nd pick.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So like I just think I don't sleep in him. That's all I'm getting at.
And look, and Phil, I think with the damage that Tyreek Hill did, they were lucky that they didn't get the double damage in Travis Kelce as well. They held him in check really well with only four catches.
Yeah, it was unusual. He couldn't even get over 50 yards. It's supremely unusual for him.
Yeah, all the damage was done by Tyreek Hill. And look, this was one of those. I guess you could say that this is the best that I've seen Devontae Smith look.
Yeah.
Only seven catches and 122 yards.
Eagles were not going to let anybody in that front office live if they weren't picking Devontae Smith because they wanted Devontae Smith. He's good.
That's right.
He is good. The Jets won.
Oh, multi-killers.
Yeah, they are. But goddamn, their defense was good. They sacked Tannehill 7 times. It was awesome.
I think they sacked him like 4 times. on third down to knock them out of field goal range.
Yeah, it was awesome. They were
it was crazy.
Like, Quinnen Williams, I think he's in his second or third year now. He's a beast of a guy. I think he plays sort of left guard, right guard.
I would not like to feed that boy.
No, he's massive.
He is a monster.
He plays at Aaron. It's weird, but so he's not obviously got the ridiculously, you know, muscle like physique of Aaron Donald.
He's just bulk.
But he moves like Aaron Donald.
He does. As a
defensive tackle.
For the size that he is, the athleticism is otherworldly.
Yeah.
For somebody that size to be able to do that. And it, not to say that he's, he's a professional footballer. He's not, to say that he's wasted at the Jets is kind of the understatement of the century. But look, somebody's got to go out there and do the things that he does, and he does them unbelievably well.
And I'll keep saying every week, the Jets aren't going to win a lot of games because the Jets, like Quinnen Williams, are so young. They just have to put up with how young this side is, because they just are a young side, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, it's just, it's been obviously, you know, back-to-back first-round picks, back-to-back-to-back. Like, when I mean first-round, I mean like top five first-round picks.
Yeah, very, 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 very early first-round.
You know, this kid, Quinnen Williams, has still got braces, to put it in perspective. That's how young he is. So, you know what I mean?
And look, you could see the game plan was always going to be this by Tennessee all along, is we are going to get 52 men. We're all going to put them on Derrick Henry's shoulders, and he's going to take us to the promised land in this game. And he almost did. Wasn't happening with Tannehill.
Look,
not having AJ Brown and Julio Jones, that is no excuse. No excuse for losing to the Jets. No excuse,
but what it shows, it's a glaring weakness on Tannehill that he can't do that without those. You know, maybe that extra hype was last year was purely because of AJ Brown. And
being hit so often as well, like that's that can be a result of his receivers not getting any separation and not being able to get open as well, and he's holding on to the ball too long. But it just goes to show that. Yeah, you lose. Basically, he's lost his two best receivers. In this game, obviously he hasn't got the fullback of Corey Davis, who's on the opposite side of the field. Wearing a white and green jersey that would have been a nice little fullback for them to have, but they don't have that. And look, you know, Zach Wilson had a fairly decent, you know, sort of second half / the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, they really did.
Yeah, that's probably the best he's looked this year. It just goes to show what he can do if he has just the tiniest little sliver of time in the pocket, because he can make the throws and he's got plenty of zip on the ball.
Next game, you know, speaking of by far their best game, I know New York beat your team, but this was by far Daniel Jones' best game. He didn't get sacked.
A career game. It's
400 yards.
Yeah, he had 402 yards.
Yeah, he was, and he shared the wealth around. Again, speaking of wealth, like the 400 yards went, you know, yeah, Golladay topped at 116, but a lot of them got over 50 yards. Even Saquon got 74 yards with five catches.
He was, Saquon Barkley was huge in this game, in the rush and in the pass game. Huge. This was by far New Orleans' worst defensive effort.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is no excuse. This is a welcome back to New Orleans. It's back in the dome. There's a little bit of sort of, you know, hype around it. And for them to lay an egg like this after being so good this first quarter and even the first half of the second quarter was awful football. Awful.
For both like teams,
even Daniel Jones wasn't that great in the first sort of say, you know, 20 minutes of this game. And New Orleans were terrible in this game. And once the offense started to wake up a little bit, look, Kamara did what he does. You know, 26 rushes, 120 yards. It's concerning for him. It wasn't done in the past game in this.
That's my concern for him. Well, he's getting great touches in the rush, which is fine. But those he got zero touches in the receiving.
Zero targets.
Game. Zero targets. Yeah. So that's concerning. Is that what they're showing away from him now?
It's one game. It's a little bit of scheme that looked like they were really going to lean on him in the rush game in this.
Well, they did last week too, I thought as well, didn't they? They leaned on him in the rush game, and he had like over 20 carries for over 100 yards. So, and not many targets in the receiving. So I hope it's on a pattern personally.
So look, the Saints are up 21-10 in the fourth, and to let the Giants come back in this game is inexcusable, and I don't give an F about Jabril Preppers and him, getting all excited about winning the coin toss for overtime. It's just like, are you serious? Do you see what jersey you're wearing? Do you know the ineptness that they've had over the past five seasons? And you're getting all jolly over winning a
coin toss?
Like, yeah, please give me a break.
He was so hyped for that.
Oh, give me a break.
we want that motherfucker. Oh, I mean, he was hyped. It was ridiculous. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, and he would have looked like a prize dickhead if they didn't get the win.
If they didn't win, yeah. You're right. The Browns. I guess you can call it an ugly game in 14-7.
This was a poo-poo game as well.
It was kind of a poo-poo game, wasn't it? Like
this was not a very aesthetically pleasing game to watch.
This is a kind of, Baker's going to be a real, sorry to swear, but mind fuck for me for the rest of the year purely because
he's an anomaly. I don't get it. Like
He's going to win them games. But he's not going to do it like what a quarterback generally does. So what I'm getting is it's a head fuck because he's got to be paid this year. So what do you base?
What do you pay him? Is it a max extension? Because I sure as hell wouldn't be giving him a max extension because clearly, and especially since Stefanski's sort of come in there, he's really maximized the run game for the Browns. No more greater example than this game. It was Chubb time again. Over 100 yards on the ground.
But see, and then Kareem Hunt, another brilliant 69 yards and a TD. But Baker now knows how to play that. His clock management is brilliant. So, I don't know. It's just what do you pay him? I don't think you can pay him like what your Dax and your Mahomes. He's not going to get that. But
no, there's no freaking way.
But then he wins you games. So where does he fall? This is what I mean. I don't know. It's kind of a weird, but it was ugly.
The scary part about it is, and listening to a pod today, and they were talking about this particular game, and sort of how stinky it was. But besides that is. Baker hasn't been good in the last 2 weeks, and I don't know if we're starting to get a good sample size of this now. Odell Beckham Jr. has been back in the last 2 weeks. I don't know what it is between them two. I don't know if they're trying to force chemistry upon them, but these two just look on the field. They could be the best of buddies off the field, but it just looks like they cannot get on the same page on the field. Odell Beckham they're force feeding him 7 targets. He only had 2 catches. They should have put this game to bed, late in the fourth, and Mayfield underthrows a pass where Odell Beckham Jr.'s got crazy separation away from the strong safety as he's running down the field, and Baker underthrows it. And Baker's dealing with a little bit of, I think it's labrum issue in his left shoulder, so his non-throwing shoulder. So that probably can't be helping either. But we're getting a decent sample size now of Odell Beckham Jr. being targeted by Baker Mayfield. It's just not working. I don't know how you fix
egos.
This.
Because those two would have massively high egos,
of
and that
course
just doesn't
they would.
Mesh well.
And that's,
so.
But that's the thing. That's where, to me, if that's what it is, this is on Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, 100%.
This isn't 2017. This isn't you being named, top one, two, or three receiver
exactly
in the league.
Right.
You are not that anymore.
No, it's right. It's on OBJ because if Mayfield's going to win you games, that's all he needs to do, and that's all they need to do. Really, that's all they really need to do. It's going to the team's interesting because they should win the division, but it's going to be interesting to see where they go from there. I don't think anywhere.
They need their safety valve back in Jarvis Landry. That's what needs to happen.
Big time.
They're missing him something chronic. The scary part of this game too was the both QBs. QBR like combined was 25. Kirk Cousins had a 10 QBR.
Yeah, he had a terrible game
was
in
like
this game.
15.
Very
just
terrible game in
awful,
this game.
Awful, awful.
Because he's been pretty brilliant these first 3 weeks, Kirk Cousins. But yeah, he was pretty terrible in this game.
This was a shocking game. The Cousins was lucky to make 200 yards. In the past game in this, it was just And look, Minnesota looked good to start the game off. Look, they scored on in their opening drive. And that was it.
That was it. I know. It was a dud kind of game. We probably spent way too many minutes on it.
It's
a concerning. We both had the same thoughts. It's just a concerning.
It's so confusing and it really does your head in.
It is. Colts getting their first win over the Dolphins. It was 27-17.
The game they needed to have, Indianapolis. They just simply could not go 0-4 and still hope to try and squeeze into the playoffs and even try and win this division.
No, you're exactly right. They, it's such a, the AFC South division is it's going to be pretty much, you would think, between them and Tennessee. And Tennessee look,
it's
sketchy.
It's a tire fire, that division.
Of course it is. It's a tire fire. So is the AFC East for Miami. They might finish second, but they're going to finish probably in a losing record, because no one's going to beat Buffalo in that division. It was just crazy. Look, I guess it was kind of they relied pretty well on the run game with Jonathan Taylor. This was his best game by far.
It was nice to see an appearance
by Jonathan
Taylor.
His first TD as well. His first TD, and he got over 100 yards because he has that. He was QB6 last year, so he has that in him.
It was nice to see an appearance by him as well, and it was good to sort of see Marlon Mack get some touches as well. He's been hurt. For him to sort of get back into some touches. Carson Wentz, again, it's, just looks like limbs are going to fall off whenever he sort of gets hit, but
yeah,
he actually didn't look too bad in this game. Look, I think both quarterbacks in this were average.
Admirable.
But
it wasn't as awful
game as what we just talked about.
No, of course not.
This still had some nice stuff. Some nice stuff to look at. And look, I really like Mike Gesicki. I really like him as a tight end.
Fan of Mike.
And I think they can utilize him a hell of a lot more in that offense than what they do at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him.
He's a big body.
He's a very consistent player. He doesn't need to be a blocker. He is like your Wallace sort of type where he can create separation.
He towers over some of those linebackers. He towers over.
There's a picture somewhere of him next to Jalen Waddle. It's absolutely chaotic. But
Jalen Waddle's only like, what is he, 5'10"?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Gesicki is massive. It's funny you brought up Marlon Mack. I love how he's just come back. Got some touches, and now all of a sudden he's requesting a trade already.
He's just like, hey, guess what, everybody? I'm back.
He was like, I played Madden a bit.
He was hurt a lot last year, but it just goes to show, I guess, sort of how disposable running backs are in this day and age of football.
Well, I played Madden a bit on PlayStation, and he was like, you know, in terms of ratings, he was always, the last few years, he was, you know, high 80s, 80, 80. And then this year, he's like 72. Just like talking about going back to Earth, like you just said. Yeah, like
it's just a huge drop off. You know, and injuries do that as well. But
of course they do.
Yeah. A lot of the times as well, it's situational as well.
My Cowboys, this was all round. This was offensively they were great, defensively they were great. It was no more so obviously than Trayvon Diggs in this game was unbelievable.
He's a machine. He does it again. And he does it again. Like, it's just,
and he's got that swagger like his brother. He's got that swagger too. He knows when he picks someone.
Oh, yeah, he knows it. Oh, yeah.
I don't think he lets everybody else know it.
Look, and the funny thing was is Dak didn't have to be terrific.
No.
14 completions, but he throws 4 touchdowns. He does a Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
against the Packers at the start of the year, like I think it was something like that. I think Winston had 16 completions and threw 4 touchdowns in the first week. So he didn't really need to overexert himself, and that's good. You know, they can sort of rely on 30 odd rushes by Elliott and Tony Pollard, which is that's the kind of game that they need to do. And like we mentioned last week, the Carolina had the best rush defense in the league.
Yeah.
And now the last two weeks they've been stomped on a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you are right. They it's hard to say. I don't think, you know, like you said, it was kind of a couple of touchdowns and garbage time in the fourth quarter, but I don't think having Christian McCaffrey there kind of wouldn't have made a difference. I don't know, but I think we did well enough personally.
He does, and like you said, when you're chasing the game towards the end of it, you know, you can get that little bit of garbage time action. The scary part of this, I guess, with Carolina is that Sam Darnold has got more rushing touchdowns than Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Sam Darnold is the number one rushing touchdown quarterback.
It's crazy.
It's awesome for him. It's so good.
Oh yeah, that's great. I mean, it's great for him. You know, DJ Moore is being DJ more impressive week no, after
DJ
week.
DJ Moore is, and I remember reading this at the start, and I should have went with my instinct and picked him. Like there was a nice article that said DJ Moore. This is a fantasy article. DJ Moore will be a top 12 wide receiver by the end of the year, if not, you know, during the year. He is that good. He's so quick. He just, yeah, like, and it's, I think he is. I really think he is. He's a first round pick as well, DJ Moore, and he's only 24. Another one that feels like he's been in the league for years.
Yeah, it feels like he's been around forever.
It feels like I've heard his name forever. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's, right. But yeah, look, Cowboys 3-1. I'm now fairly, you know, I would assume, I know it's only 4 games, but Washington's going to be their only competitor. You really could cross off Philadelphia and New York now already. I know it's only 4 games, but I can.
I think so. Like there's a lot of sort of New York media that's out there, and I pay a little bit of attention to that. But you know, all it takes is a win by the Jets and a win by the Giants, and holy moly, they just can't help themselves. They're so delusional.
I love
like,
it. That's just
as bad as LA fans. It's so delusional.
That's New York media, baby. It's just the way.
It's delusions.
It is, but that's just New
One
York.
One win.
Well, I know that's, but they got to cheer for something. They got to get something because it's probably going to be it for the rest of the year.
They just go and cheer for the perennial winner that's in that city, and then will always and forever be a perennial winner in that city, and that's the New York Yankees. Just go and cheer for them.
Well, yeah, maybe. Not anymore. But anyway, that's another sort of...
Well, look, what was the last time they made the World Series? Like 2009? So, you know, that's a monumental drought, you know, for the Yankees who've just got infinite money to spend.
At the moment, technically, at the moment, if you're talking New York, technically at the moment, the best team at the moment is the New York Knicks, which is absolutely crazy.
Well, yeah, that's right. That are called New York. Like, you know, Brooklyn is still technically New York, but
Yeah, I can't count them in. I just can't. I know, but I can't. I know it is, but I just can't. I know it is, but I can't. I don't know.
Oh my God, aren't they? Yeah, aren't they sort of, you know, making a mockery of everything at the moment? Just as the NBA season starts, they're just there. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one we need to talk about. Oh, the preview of Brooklyn Nets is probably going to take half the pod. So, moving on, the Bears, you know, for the Lions, they still haven't won a game yet. They're 0-4. We said for the first three, they were unlucky in the first three games. This game, they weren't unlucky. They were just beaten pretty soundly.
No, and it was a Lions way to lose a game. Like, yeah. I don't know how much of this that you watched. There was a little bit of this on Red Zone, but I mean this wouldn't have been a very, very nice game to sort of watch, especially if you're a Lions fan. But that, I don't know if you've seen.
I'm pretty Lions fans. Do you?
No. Jalen Rose?
Eddie Murphy, maybe? From Beverly Hills Cop?
Axel Foley. But I don't know if you've seen this.
Very little on the red zone.
Where you see Jared Goff, he sort of looks like he comes in to try and kill the play, and the ball gets snapped anyway. It bounces off his quad. You know, they were in the shotgun. He comes in, tries to kill the play. The center snaps the ball. It bounces off his thigh and goes straight to the Bears. And you're just like, oh my God, that is such a Detroit Lions thing to do. Like, yeah. It was just that type of play can just make you look like a total bonehead. And Jared Goff has been anything but this year. I think he's been pretty solid this year.
It was
brutal to watch.
This was Justin Fields' first full game, I guess, so to speak. While he only got sacked once, he also, and this will just come in time, but he didn't throw any TDs, it was all rushing TDs that they got. They got three rushing TDs.
Everything was done on the ground.
I think it's concerning. I just think that'll just be him climatizing for some reason. Something's going on with Allen Robinson. I don't know.
The Bears had to do something because he would have been, you know, fairly dented and scarred after last week against the Browns. So yeah, that they would have had to have done something to sort of get his confidence up. A win will do that. You know, he still had the interception, but like you said, he only got sacked once. The Lions, yeah, did a good number on Baltimore last week. Just couldn't back it up this week.
The Bills, just, you know, probably not much. There's, you know, a little bit to talk about in this game, but 40-0. Davis Mills got intercepted four times, got sacked three times, only could muster 87 yards. Oh my God.
But that's such a poor situation for David Mills to be in.
It really is. Like,
It was in Buffalo. Like, it just. That's not the best situation for him to be in. He's doing the best he can. What was he, a third round pick? Mm-hmm. He's sort of looking like a third round pick. They're just getting nothing out of the run game, which I'm so surprised at some of the rushes that they have there. That's got to be offensive scheming. You've got to try and establish something. Like, you've got to go to your best plays, you know, in the run game to try and free up some space and give Mills a little bit of time to try and go to work. And it was just impossible.
Yeah, no, you're right. Buffalo's
big test comes next week.
Yeah. No, you're in exactly Kansas right. City. In Kansas City. Yeah, that'll be a good game.
That'll just be smoking.
Oh, that'll be a precursor, I think, for AFC Championship at the moment. So possibly.
Those tailgates in the Kansas City parking lot to start this game will start the smoking, and then the smoke will go into Arrowhead. Like, that is going to be just a scorching game. It's going to be so good.
Look, Buffalo were feeling it. They brought out Mitch Trubisky, who only threw once, but he also got a couple of rush, a couple of carries and got a rushing
touchdown. A couple of gadget plays for him. Yeah, that's what you can do when you're pumping, you're pumping your team, and they put on three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So, it just turned into a total demolition.
Washington beating the Falcons. I'm kind of befuddled what I'm making of the Falcons at the moment. Like,
it's the best they've looked this year.
Is that a thing?
Is this the best that they've looked offensively? Like, they've been, we said it at the start of the year, constipated.
Their leading receiver and rusher is Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh my God, Cordarrelle Patterson, get the hell out of here!
Oh, I had to say his name because you hate him. It's hilarious.
Get the hell out of here!
No, you're right. Like they did look okay offensively, and they were sort of
They bottled up Mike Davis, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they really did. Yeah, Mike, you got 13 carries for a total of 14 yards. So they really bottled it, Emma. And then they had to go to the air, which seemed to sort of, I guess, work for the most part. Washington's did enough in that fourth quarter to get the win. That's literally what ended up happening. They just did that enough to on that fourth corner to win, because it was also special teams as well.
Don't forget about the DeAndre Carter, 101-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to start the third quarter.
Yeah, he had. Like,
That's just the best way to start your second half.
And they technically should have been a lot more in front, because their kicker wasn't that great. I think he only got 1 out of 3 in this game, so that was pretty poor, I thought, as well.
That's right. And McKissick with a diving, lunge at the end zone, getting hammered. And how the hell they determined him for getting the ball over the line, I'll have no idea.
You're right. I have no idea. I thought Washington did what they did. They were away. Falcons, it's probably sort of where they are at the moment, unfortunately. I think that's kind of, 1-3. I guess that's where I put them at the moment.
Yeah, look, they should be fairly safe, when you've got a couple of receivers like Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts there. Calvin Ridley this year has been a little unimpressive. Like, he's out of the shadow now of Julio Jones, and he's the clear. Last year he was the clear number one receiver on that team, but he's out of the shadow now. He really needs to stand up and start catching some balls for Matt Ryan, because, only 7 catches off 13 targets, that's not good enough.
No,
for somebody
right.
like for yeah. somebody like for him, like his like hands him. Are so good.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, he's just probably getting double teamed. So
But then that makes sense. I mean, that makes it good. They've got Hayden Hurst there. Like, they've got
Kyle Pitts.
They're bell cow in Patterson. Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. Yeah. Russell Gage, who was pretty good last year, seems to be doing nothing at all. Like, I don't think he was in this game. So
no.
Yeah, little bit concerning. So last game was the first game, obviously, so we've gone backwards. So that was the Friday game. The Joe Burrow-led Bengals, he was good in this game. But, they won 24-21.
Good first half by Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was.
Trevor Lawrence didn't look terrible.
Until the second half. But overall he wasn't that. This is probably, again, talking about best game. This is probably his best game.
This has probably been the most consistent he's been for a half. The Bengals had a massive stop on a fourth and goal right before halftime. As Trevor Lawrence tried to rush it in for a touchdown, and got stuffed just before the line, and that would have put him up 21-0, going into the half, and that would have been a huge nut punch to the Bengals. But they had that big stop. Trevor Lawrence has already had a rushing touchdown. They look fairly impressive, but the scary thing was how quickly the deficit was erased in that third quarter, because the Bengals come out sizzling in the third quarter and erased it so quick.
Yeah, no, they did. They erased it super, super quick. I mean, in the third quarter, they got those two quick TDs.
And it's they clawed. It took, you know, it took all of the first half for Jacksonville to sort of build that kind of lead, and, you know, within minutes and a couple of drives, the Bengals had it all back. And it was just the perfect ending to that game as well. Perfect clock management. You know, the Bengals had the ball for the final 5 minutes and 30 seconds and just plotted their way down the field. Didn't look troubled, and got themselves into a winning position, to set up for the field goal as time expired. I thought that's just a textbook way to finish off a game when the game is tied and you're just like, we are going to hang on to the ball here. We're not going to make any mistakes. We are going to run the ball. We are going to run this clock down. We're going to force you to use your timeouts. It was just an absolute textbook way to kill the final 5.5 minutes of this game and set up a winning field goal. It was perfect.
So it was pretty evident. I named my stud halfway through this in Tyreek Hill, because what he did was absolutely insane. I don't know what your start of the week is.
I mean, how can you can't really go?
You can't really go past
that, can you? Like, not really, how do you go past that?
No,
look,
you can't.
And look, I think a close second in a losing effort, I think, was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Because
there's just no chance in hell I'm giving it to Daniel Jones. Like, there's just no chance in hell I'm giving it to him.
The other one I would have gave it to, because he was in the game we just talked about, CJ Uzomah was pretty cool in this game.
He was good.
No, he was sort of my close second. But, yeah, you couldn't – well, I wouldn't say close second. He was second. Tyreek Hill was a clear first. Did you have a dud of the week?
Look, I'm not afraid to come out here and call out New Orleans, call out the Saints. That was awful. That cannot happen. For what's happened to the city, it's not even really about the football. It is a little bit, but you know, the city's just gone through another hurricane. Give these people a little bit of joy. I think the training wheels. I think they've got to come off. This safe Jameis Winston. I think they've at least take one training wheel off, because this sort of dink and dunk and this sort of BS that they're trying to do with Jameis Winston to try and, I guess, help him out by not throwing extremely poor interceptions. But something's got to give. And look, Michael Thomas is still another couple of weeks away. They still haven't activated him off the PUP list. It's I get it. The receiving core there is one of the worst in the league.
It's up there. Detroit will probably have something to say, but it is pretty awful. You're right.
They brought in Kenny Stills, who's been with New Orleans before. Granted, this was his first game with them. They need to get him involved. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
They shouldn't have got rid of Emmanuel Sanders. I still don't know why.
No.
He's been great at Buffalo Bills. Thriving, almost. You know, he's 34, but who cares?
That's the thing, too. Like, they've been trying to save so much in cap as well. You know, they had the dispute at the start of the season with Latavius Murray and trying to restructure his contract, and he just went, nah, not doing it. So they went, right, I see ya. Like, Sanders didn't really get too much involved with the New Orleans offense until the end of last year. And that sort of drove his price up too much, and they couldn't afford to keep him. They've basically got a bunch of nobodies there at receiver. But you've got to start trusting Jameis sooner rather than later, because we know he's got an arm on him.
Oh,
they've got a good offensive line.
Of course he does. Yeah, of course he does. No, I'll echo that. It was pretty poor. Like I don't think you're saying it in general that it was the New York team, because it really could have been any team. It was just that they were back in New Orleans. And
that's all I'm saying. It's not
ballistic.
Really about the football. It's just it's about coming back to the city for the first time in a month.
They were different.
Yeah, they've been traveling all over the place. Yeah. It just they're such unbelievably passionate fans there. I've seen it. Yep. I've seen it firsthand. Yep. Like they're crazy people. Like I know a lot of fan bases are like that, but they're crazy people there, and they love their Saints, and it's one of the loudest. Yeah, places to go when you're an opposing team, and for them to have that fourth quarter collapse is just totally unacceptable.
So just to finish up, just some news.
I thought something that was sort of like we talked about before, earlier with Tom Brady going past Drew Brees to be the all time leader in passing yards. In the earlier game, in the Green Bay Pittsburgh game, Dan Marino didn't really have one of those. We all love Dan Marino. He's a terrific actor / quarterback. For the Miami Dolphins. But he didn't have such a great afternoon. Big Ben went past him in passing yards. In that game against Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers tied him for touchdown passes. In that game, Big Dan wasn't having the greatest of afternoons, while I guess sort of sitting back and reading his next script,
not being in any movies at all except for
Ace Ventura. What are you talking about?
He's been in one movie, hasn't he?
He's been in two movies. He was in Ace Ventura. He's in Bad Boys 2. He's getting around. Come on!
The last of those. Star. Movies. It's like 20 years ago. So yeah, cool. He's a star. Funnily enough,
I don't know if you've seen the news. I could only assume that you did about the Super Bowl halftime entertainment looked insane.
That is just such an LA. Well, except for probably
of course it is.
Eminem. That's such an LA flavored hip hop extravaganza. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Kendrick Lamar. He's from Atlanta.
No, he's Compton boy. He's Compton. That's how.
Oh,
that's
wow. What right. Oh, actually, no. Is that Future? Is that what I'm thinking of? Is Future?
Yeah, that's Future. Yeah, he's a Compton boy. That's why he signed with Dre.
City of Compton.
Yeah, he's a Compton boy. He loves it too. He always talks about Compton.
I might actually tune in to the halftime show.
I am tuning into that.
That is going to be can't miss. Can't miss choreography. How they're going to work in the hits? Because there's too many hits.
And I reckon there's going to be probably a hologram of Tupac or something. It's going to be.
It's got to finish. It's got to finish with California Love.
Has to. It will. Well, that will.
And hopefully, a full rendition of California Love.
And you would. This will be mashup California Love. You would think so, but they'd have. I don't know. What have they got like? 30 minutes, so probably they'll only probably all get like a 3 or 4 minute song, 10 songs maybe. It depends how they do it.
I think it's gonna it should be very creative at least.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome at SoFi at LA. So
yeah, like you said, extremely LA flavored.
Of course it is.
LA flavored lollipop there.
That will do it for week 4 of our NFL. Don't forget, as always, our socials, Facebook and Twitter, which is at Final Play Pod. You can also get our pods on gimco.com.au, which is your trading cards extravaganza.
Trading card heaven, if you will. So, those guys are great. Check those guys out. It's it's always appreciated with those guys. Yeah, if you love your trading cards, get amongst it. Not 100% sure, pretty sure that there's another NBA break coming up. NBA Fridays is always popular, so check those guys out. We're also on a couple of other platforms as well. We've got Escorted Sports Tours as well have sort of welcomed us on board, so thanks again to Shane for that. They're very, very grateful for those guys that are allowing us to get on their platform. So, it's much appreciated. Check us out on Spotify. That's probably the easiest way to get us. You know, we're on SoundCloud as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so check us out. But yeah, there's always plenty of activity on the Facebook page. So yeah, give us a like, give us a share, and give us a follow.
Well, that will do it. My name's Jason. Oh my, I honestly can't wait till that halftime extravaganza. It's going to be insane mashup.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm Miles Plum, LA flavored lollipop. So you know that's just
with a sprinkling of a Detroit in there.
That's right. Yeah, with a little sprinkling of a little bit of Detroit flavor.
And what's interesting is generally, it always happens every year. Whoever performs, generally then names a tour. So it'd be interesting out of all them who's going to name a tour. I'm probably not going to be a world tour, of course, but every year they all name a tour, which is easy. Why wouldn't you? You've got billions of people watching. It's the best time to do it. So
no, yeah, exactly. It would be. I guess it'd be a little bit hard for Dre and the DOGG to sort of, you know, get on the road together. But you know, what an American tour that would be.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Even if they incorporated Eminem like that, God damn, they would make so much money. Oh my God, they make so much money.
All of them. They could do a world tour. Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. That is absolutely ridiculous as
that's
a world.
That is just
I'd pay $200
to see
five of them. Easily pay $200. Easily.
Easy.
That is a festival. That's a mini festival.
That is. Yeah,
they all could play an hour. They could all play an hour set, and I'd be
and
happy.
It wouldn't be enough.
It wouldn't be enough.
There's no way it would be enough.
All an hour set, five people, and then they all do like a 2-hour set all together and just go crazy. Oh my God!
It just wouldn't be enough.
I don't know how they're gonna fit all that in a half an hour. You usually get one
or
two.
That is heroin in music form.
That's a great way to finish. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.